The sun is shining, the birds are out, and we're in Norwich.
Worst start to a podcast ever.
Sorry.
Tell them where you've been. Tell them where you've just rushed
from. I've just been... the day is Friday the 1st of May. May Day.
Do you want to start again?
No. Okay. I think
press on.
We should man on.
Good.
Man on. Man up and push on. I've just been on the Channel 4 news programme at lunchtime, at midday. They asked me to go on the Channel 4 news programme to give my opinion on the new Poet Laureate.
Who is, of course?
Carol Ann Duffy.
Mother of Keith Duffy, boys' own of Coronation Street fame. So they ask you, presumably on the basis that in, 2006, you did a show called Luke Wright, Poet Laureate, in which you arrogantly claimed to be the Poet Laureate.
Yeah.
They've thoroughly debunked that now, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
They've caught on.
They dragged me on there to public humiliation.
They're going to pillory you and demonstrate your failure, presumably. Well,
jokes on them, because they've got a proper national news show that doesn't need to like make itself popular like I have to do, and they're the ones wasting their time with me trying to debunk the myths of Luke Wright. They could have just ignored me. That would be the best way.
That's you won.
Cut
Channel 4
nil. Yeah.
Yet again.
Yeah, again. So what happened is I've been wearing my suit all week and looking quite dapper. And today,
you're not going to claim that the reason they put you on Channel 4 is you've been wearing a suit.
No.
That's not all it takes. I know the standards in media are low, but that's not all it takes.
Quite the opposite, in fact, because I woke up this morning and thought, the sun is shining, the birds are out, I'm in Norwich, and I've just had my baggy jeans newly laundered after they got a bit grubby at your stag do, and I thought, do you know what? Fuck it.
Oh, swearing.
Fuck it. I'm gonna dress down in trainers and jeans and what can only be described as a slightly homosexual looking top.
The top itself doesn't... I mean, it's very hard for an item of clothing to have a sexual preference, but... Oh yeah, no, actually, I would go along with that description.
If this item of clothing had a voice, its voice would be like, oh, hello, I'm a shirt.
Well, Luke, you've betrayed your own ignorance there by confusing homosexuality and campness, because that could be the voice of a red-blooded, steak-eating, masculine, manly man.
Because, of course, just homosexuals don't have red blood, do they?
They have a kind of yellow, sickly blood. Yeah.
So, anyway, I went on, and so typically today... they decide to, out of the blue, apropos of nothing, announce the...
there was no build-up to that, was there?
Yeah, just no build-up at all. Yeah, no one's mentioned the
Some press correspondent
years.
Came out of the front of Buckingham Palace and went, oh, by the way, the Queen's been having a think. And she quite likes that Carol Ann Duffy, so put that in the newspaper.
So, I got to... They rung me up and asked me to go... Do you know, you've got to think about it, okay, now, for all my shameless self-promotion, why was I asked... to go on Channel 4, out of all the poets in the world, why was I asked to go on Channel 4? Because generally, that's a pretty good bit of publicity. You'd probably sell a few books, mm-hmm. If I had any books.
Radio 4 had Ian McMillan on, I believe, so, up against stiff competition.
Exactly, so Ian McMillan was on Radio 4, so Ian McMillan would have gladly gone on Channel 4 as well, because he clearly doesn't mind going and doing stuff. So why didn't they ask me, Joel? Do you want to know why? I know why.
Is it the homosexual shirt?
Because the researcher... is a university friend of a friend of mine, and I
think... Oh, well, now we see how it works.
Well, I don't...
Wheels within wheels.
Well, I don't know what that means, but it sounds as if you mean a bit sort of...
You can't do a hand gesture on a podcast.
I can.
Well, you can.
It can.
It just won't go down that well.
I don't know why they asked me, but I think someone was a bit late. I think also that if you type in Poet Laureate, my website's quite high up the Google rankings because of my show.
The might of ITN Research. One of the world's largest news organisations, just Googling random phrases that appear in headlines.
Him, do that one. Yeah.
What's next? Swine flu. What's coming up for that? Oh, the picture of a man with a pig snout. We'll run that.
So I got to go on Channel 4 News. And I couldn't go down to London. They were like, oh, can you not be in London? You're not in London. They're a bit confused by that.
Mm,
but once they got over that confusion, they were like, I think there might be a studio in Norwich. And so
Norwich is zone 6? Is it beyond that?
So I was given an address and I went there and there's a big tarpaulin. They haul this tarpaulin off and brushed up the dust, and it was a bit like the Dharma Initiative. There was a studio there and I crept inside and they sat there for half an hour. in front of this camera, looking at a big monitor of my own big moonish white pasty face.
At what point, how many minutes did it take before you started to believe it was a practical joke? I'm guessing about 28 minutes.
Yeah, it never crossed my mind for a second. Okay. And so I had a little earpiece in, like Rumsfeld, and just like Rumsfeld.
Exactly like Rumsfeld.
And
I like to think you carried yourself with the same dignity.
Staring at my own face. And every time I sort of kind of forgot, I imagine what Big Brother might be a bit like that. After a while, you start to believe that no one is really looking at you, and you might do a little burp or a little fart or something like that, or pull a face. And generally, within about 10 seconds of me doing a little face, or, you know, like, they'd come back on the earpiece and just go, "Are you okay there, Luke? Everything just fine? We'll be with you in just a moment there." Just to remind me that I'd probably been spotted. Doing a face, doing a fart.
What kind of faces were you pulling at yourself?
Scrunching
up your mouth. Scrunching up
your mouth. So yeah, I did that, and they asked me some questions. I was amazing. For a man who'd been sitting there for half an hour on his own with nothing to do but to compose his thoughts, I was incredibly inarticulate. I ummed and ahed and went, yeah, because she's just, you know, really, people just really, you know, I think she'd be very different. It's a woman, that's good. So yeah, but I'm on standby, Joel.
Oh.
Yeah, like Rick Witter was in the song On Standby. In fact, no, he wasn't. It doesn't matter.
I'm not sure I know what you're referring to.
Would you stay on standby? Because I need another alibi.
I'm still not sure I know what you're referring
at
to.
At the wrong time, I need to know that I'll be fine.
I'm now pretty sure I don't want to know what you're referring
Bulletproof.
To.
Bulletproof. It's a song by Shed 7 from the mid-90s.
Oh, the mid-90s. Oh, I remember the mid-90s.
So, I'm on standby because this is... And I think this is the punchline to this rambly story, if indeed it could be called a punchline, is that...
That's always a great way to set up a punchline, by the way.
If they can't convince Carolyn Duffy to go on the evening news and talk about her appointment as Poet Laureate, they want me to go on instead. So I want to know when... Over the last week, at what point did I become the official stand-in for Carolyn Duffy?
You are Carolyn Duffy's understudy.
I am, apparently.
I mean, the implication of that is that they wanted to interview the Poet Laureate. Yeah. But if she doesn't turn up, they're just going to treat you as if you are the Poet Laureate. I think you should go along with it and claim to be the new Poet Laureate.
I think this is absolutely ideal for my campaign. It almost makes me want to brush the dust off the script and get the old show out. I can't be asked to get the old show out. Okay. But, so that was good.
How long do you think it is before the curse of the laureateship consumes Carolyn Duffy, who is, to this point, quite a good poet?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe. The curse of any sort of public job is a bad one. But Obama's first 100 days in office, still going well.
He doesn't have to write poems about...
No,
family.
But he does have to sort out the credit crunch, which is almost as difficult.
Almost.
But then Gordon Brown's first 100 days in office, ever the Brown bounce, the original Brown bounce, not the so-called Brown bounce from November last year, but the original Brown bounce.
I did a Brown bounce,
yeah. I don't want to know. And he was very popular after 100 days, and then he sort of went, I might call an election. Psych. Yeah, everyone just went, fuck off and ever do that to us again. How dare you? We hate you, you stupid dur-faced man. You're apparently completely ill-fitted to the job that you were doing brilliantly at a mere 24 hours ago.
Dur-faced man is a great description.
Dur-faced man.
You see, my theory is that Carolyn maybe has succumbed already to the curse of public office because of the quotation from her on BBC News. They have a quote from 1999, where it says, after being passed over for the laureate job in 99, she commented, I will not write a poem for Edward and Sophie. No self-respecting poet should have to, referring to Edward and Sophie of royal family fame.
Yeah.
And then the quote from this morning was, poetry is all about looking at the ordinary and transforming it, the Midas touch, and the monarchy has that too. The presence of the Queen can help heal, transform, and make things magic.
Oh, she's sold out, Joel.
She's been in the job for but minutes, and she believes that the Queen has magical healing powers. That is the brainwashing power of the laureate. Super Queen.
From all that business with Prince Charles's private secretary, we know how they convince people to get on side with the monarchy. They bugger them into it, don't they? they bum them into liking them.
They could not have found a less suitable candidate. That is not the approach to take.
Exactly. And all this stuff's come out now that we're saying that basically the reason she didn't get it last time round is because Blair, Mr. Champion of Homosexual Rights. There's a big article with Johan Hari in the last episode of issue of Attitude magazine, which I read online, being a big Johan Hari fan that I am. And it was all about, you know, Blair might be a cunt, but at least he was good to the gays, basically, was the whole. But apparently, to pass Carolyn Duffy over because she was a big leser, basically. And he thought...
were those his words?
He was like, you know, really, she's a big leser, and I'm not sure how that will float with Middle England. And
he's just not a fan of putting Scottish people in positions of power, as we know. I think there's no more hypocrisy.
He passed her over because he didn't think, you know, what a genuine asset that man really was to this country, eh? Good old Blair. So yes, but now she's finally got it because Gordon Brown doesn't care whether you're straight or gay.
He is a big fan of putting Scottish people in positions of power. So.
Exactly. He put that little badger in charge of all the money, didn't he?
Isn't he sweet? Bodger and Badger. What a team.
I was talking yesterday about the political columnists trying to, it's been given this sort of gift of swine flu, and they're like, swine flu, and it's like Animal Farm, pigs really? Are more
yep.
equal,
yep.
But Alistair Darling's a badger, a it doesn't quite work, pigs might fly,
tuberculosis,
what
shooting,
if?
Alistair
Darling's a badger. Does it work? Whilst we're on the subject of swine flu, which we will continue to call it throughout this podcast, and not as... Are we really such a stupid, vacuous nation that we've had to start calling it pig flu? Was swine flu too comics, too highbrow and literary for the tabloids that are swine flu? No, I don't know what that means. Pig flu. I like swine flu. Swine flu. Like, it has certain Dickensian sort of quality to it. I've contracted swine flu. Oh no. Oh no. What are we going to do now? I don't know. Hopefully the swine flu will pass.
But I say, Jenkins, where's your man? I'm afraid he contracted swine flu.
Oh no. Blasted swine flu is going around the whole village at the moment.
The International Pork Farmers Association, I'm not sure if that's what they're called, pig makers.
The International Pork Farmers Community, the IPFC.
Is that what they're called?
I don't know.
They started lobbying to have it called North American flu because they don't like the association with pigs.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
associating it with an entire continent as far as...
Just blame it on the Mexicans, yeah. Well,
that's the point where we're going to put in music, isn't it? It's going to go dun, 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 dun.
That was a moment when this beautiful juggling act of conversation just sort of fell flat in its face.
Something else that was in the news, not actually this week, but last week, we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, was a report that had come out. Once again, it's one of these reports where every news outlet uses whatever official language they've got for you know what they say, without actually naming any sources that anyone can remember. But a press release has been issued from someone, somewhere in the world, based on some spurious research.
A mental in a pub.
Some bloke down the pub, told our producer.
All you need is a fax and you can alter, yeah.
We should
get a fax and we should just randomly fax out.
Or a fax machine that can send faxes back to the 80s when the fax was the height of
technology.
It was huge,
yeah.
What's that film with Tom Cruise and Sandra Bullock in a house and one of them is living there like 5 years after the other, but the mailbox is a magic mailbox and when one of them puts things in the mailbox from the future, it goes to the one in the past and they fall in love across a gulf of time and one of them has to, you know, they're passing notes from 5 years previously to 5 years forwards and they have to wait and meet up.
I don't know, but it sounds like a brilliant idea for a film.
Oh, it's an amazing film. It's the best film
I've
ever
seen.
Tom
Cruise and Sandra Bullock.
No, not Tom Cruise. Who's the other one?
Tom Hanks.
No, not Tom Hanks.
It doesn't sound like
Keanu Reeves. That's the one. The poor man's Tom Cruise. Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. No, that's Speed.
It's not Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
Dude.
If I can remember the name of the film.
From the future.
We could look it up.
I do know that I remember seeing adverts for it and remember thinking that looks really bad. It's kind of... Yeah. I liked While You Were Sleeping with Sandra Bullock.
I liked it while you were sleeping with Sandra Bullock. You have some interesting anecdotes about Hollywood.
I never slept with Sandra Bullock. She wouldn't have for me. Look at me. A great big moon-faced twat.
Maybe when she sees you on Channel 4 News.
Yeah, she'll change her mind. She'll be like, fucking that Carol Ann Duffy's got a bit of weight.
this piece of spurious research that was reported as fact was about the environmental impact of the internet and various things on the internet. Now, we're all aware of, you know, the phenomenon of a carbon footprint, you know, how much a certain thing or activity or person in their daily life is affecting climate change. So if you take a plane flight, that has a carbon footprint. If you, you know, drive down to the shops, that has a carbon footprint.
You think planes are much, much... We go on and on about planes and these plane stupid people. I'm not saying they're plane stupid, that's no real organisation saying. But actually, if you drive loads and loads of miles in your car, that's almost as bad. It's not as disproportionate as you might imagine, actually. That's
my... So the moral of the story is don't drive to a climate change protest.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Just walk there.
Just walk there.
Put some peas in your socks.
By the time you get there, it'll no longer be relevant. We'll be living underwater. Yeah. Not much will have changed, but we will live underwater.
It'll be like the year 3000.
Again.
Yeah,
this research was about the carbon footprint of web content, of using... the internet. So the example they gave was I can't remember which particular YouTube video, one of these YouTube videos which has had 60 million views.
Maybe it was Susan Boyle, the hairy angel, Joel.
I think that's too recent to have accumulated many views. Yeah. It might have been the androgynous man ranting about Britney Spears that's been watched 25 million times.
I don't
or a small toddler hitting his brother, which has been watched 70 million times.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's great. Or a cat on a skateboard with a bowler hat on or something. Anyway, the environmental impact of particularly heavily accessed things on the internet like that is actually quite significant. And it's a scary thought that, you know, you can kind of see... You can balance it up and make a judgment about whether it's worth flying on a plane to go on holiday or using your car to go and visit someone. You can say, oh, well, you know, impacts the environment, but I really would like that holiday, or, you know, I really would like to go and see that person who lives on the other side of the country. But when it's a case of clicking onto a hilarious viral video on the internet...
Is it worth it?
You can't quite make that justification. Are we killing our planet for the sake of lols?
Of lols. Or ruffles.
Or ruffles.
Or ruffles, yeah. Omgs. But that's bollocks. It's bollocks theory. It's not real. Obviously,
I'm in no position to judge.
I remember people saying, you know, a few weeks ago now, they were saying, oh, if you Google, that's like boiling the kettle six times. That's not. It's a lie, isn't it? That's not true.
Well,
it's not, because it can't require that much electricity.
Some electricity to run the computer, which is the server off which that request is being sent.
But
electricity, schmittrectricity.
yeah, but it's not as bad as boiling a kettle with their filaments.
But if you can find out what that film was with the magic mailbox and Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves by boiling a kettle, then I'll come to accept your argument. But as it is, you need
Why Google. Why were we talking about that magic film?
I can't remember.
What's that got to do with this?
You're saying that boiling a kettle is preferable to using Google or the other way around.
Oh, yeah, because we might use Google to find out what that film is. Yes, we should use Google to find out what that film is.
I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, but we could find out by typing Sandra Bullock and possibly one bad American accent.
It might not be Sandra Bullock.
He's more than an accent, Keanu Reeves. He's a man, isn't he? He's a living, breathing man.
I think if we put...
It was Sandra Bullock.
Was it?
I reckon it was.
An unlikely casting for a romantic comedy.
No, she's in loads of romantic comedy.
Yeah, she's rubbish.
But she was in While You Were Sleeping. She was in Miss Congeniality. That's kind of a romantic comedy. She was in The Net. The Net wasn't. The Net was all about hacking. It was a realistic film about
Speed.
Hacking. It was Speed.
And Speed 2, which of course tried to take the same concept of an out of control vehicle and apply it to the slowest possible vehicle, a cruise liner.
Was it a cruise liner?
Terrible.
I don't think
terrible
I've seen
sequel.
Speed 2.
Awful.
Oh, awful. God, Speed was irritating enough, wasn't it? Just, God, I can't drop below 50 miles an hour. Rubbish. Don't believe it. It's never happened. It would never happen. That's what happens when I go to the cinema with my parents. I went to go watch Children of Men with my parents at the cinema. My wife and I went along, my wife, who you know, and they don't know, out in podcast land. And I went to go watch it, and it was quite a busy cinema, so my parents found a seat in one place, and me and Sal sat in another. And Sal and I just watched it, and we loved it. We thought it was great. Oh, you know, Clive Owen can't act, but, you know, it's still a great film. Really, really enjoyed it. Came away, and we said, what did you think about that? Because my dad likes sci-fi as well, so I was expecting my mum not to like it so much. She likes them real-life stories about women who marry Iranian men, then have to, like, escape over mountains with their children or something like that. She loves that. It just confirms all her prejudices about the world. But they were like, oh, rubbish. And I was like, rubbish? They were like, it would never happen, Luke. It's just, you can't dismiss a fictional film on the basis that it would never happen. Your dad, you like Star Wars. Like you watched a 2001 Space Odyssey.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away is a legitimate setting for a film.
It would never happen. People just wouldn't stop having babies. It would never happen. This is from people who read the Daily Mail. Do you know what I mean? At no point they go, that hasn't happened. Just go, oh my God, we're all going to die from pig flu. Pig flu.
An asylum detention centre could turn into a terrorist training camp. That does seem likely.
Almost certainly likely, because it's a bit like The Great Escape. Every time like the guard's back to turn, they go, get all the plans, get on Google,
they did, isn't it? The Great Escape. It was all done via Google.
All done via Google, yes. Let me come with you, I can see. No. We have to do it via webcast. It was like The Net with Sandra Bullock.
Ah, great film.
Which is my favourite Sandra Bullock film, actually.
Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Like referencing it?
No, I saw The Net in 1995 at the cinema. I went with my friend James Ratnage.
Must have been pretty cutting edge in 1995.
It was The Net. It was about hacking. I really, really liked it. James Ratnage has quite bad eczema.
Was that part of the film? Was that integral to the plot?
Are there just things I'm remembering?
He had eczema whilst starring in the film.
He wasn't in the film, no. I went to go watch.
Oh, I see. I've misunderstood.
Yeah, James Ratnage.
Not a Hollywood star.
Not a Hollywood star. was my friend at school when I was in year nine. We were really good friends for about 6 months because he fell out with all of his normal friends. They started being horrible.
All the people he actually liked.
So I was pretty keen to have a new friend. But basically, he
wanted Carol Ann Duffy, but when she cancelled, you were the next best.
Yeah, he wanted Carol Ann Duffy. He thought, but he was a bit worried about how her appointment might go down in Middle England. They should just all shut up. Do you know what I mean?
Who exactly? Who should all shut up?
All the whingers. All the whingers. All the whingers not pulling their weight. Oh, boo-hoo.
It's a coherent argument. There's no denying that. I think all the whingers should shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, worryingly, you could actually run for public office with a platform like that and get quite far.
You need to do is speak slowly, Joel, because as I found out recently from Sir Bob Worcester of the Moree Polling Group, apparently Obama, and so I don't know what happened there to me. It's all glitching time. Obama, Churchill, and JFK, three of the most influential
walk into a bar
orators,
and go up to the bar and say,
"Geez, I sure as no." What? Stop! Look, they all spoke 150 words a minute,
all the time.
Yeah, that was generally if they deliver speeches, whereas most politicians apparently speak 220 words a minute. It's an interesting fact, yeah.
But you have to be careful about the way you talk slowly. I mean, Churchill had a very distinctive way of talking slowly.
Just talking slowly.
As does Obama. Just talking very slowly. Probably wouldn't do the job. If you've got the kind of halting cadences that Obama has with all their echoes of, Baptist ministers and...
I think that's really important. I think also it depends on what you're saying as well.
Change has come to America today.
Sounds like he's typing it. Change has come to America today. No, not sure. So change has come up and is... So in conclusion, it's not enough to just talk slowly. You have to say the right words.
Yeah, and you have to talk slowly in the right way.
In the right way, exactly.
Hopefully in an inspiring way, in a way that will convince people to follow you. How many words a minute did Hitler speak? I'd be interested to know.
That is actually a genuinely interesting point. I do not know. I mean, maybe we could find it out.
German words tend to be very long, so I suspect.
But I think he probably talked a lot quicker than Obama,
Yeah.
And in German as well, which played well in Germany, but probably wouldn't do well in an international audience.
Yeah, because Obama has addressed German crowds as well. The key point there is that he did it in English.
He did it in English,
so
exactly.
So he will never be the man that Hitler was. He's Hitler, half the man Hitler was.
Exactly, Hitler knew to do it in their own language. He at least had that respect.
He was a natural orator, wasn't he? He was a clever man, Hitler, very clever man. He knew if he had a German-speaking audience in front of him, he should deliver his speeches in German.
That is
the genius of the man. That is the mental acuity that he had.
I mean, that was half if not two-thirds of the battle with Hitler, wasn't
Absolutely. It? Absolutely. Speaking the right language. So many dictators get that wrong.
If you'd gone there and spoken in Australian, which isn't even a language, it's merely a sort of a
dialect,
an aberration of a language. He wouldn't have gone down there. He'd gone down there down very well at all.
No,
he'd got up there and spoken spoken Zulu, for example.
Mm. I mean, wouldn't have been. Mussolini famously started his career giving speeches only in Welsh.
Exactly,
but he soon
got
learnt.
Nowhere. Got nowhere. Yeah. Switched it to Latin, which is the language they speak in Italy, and all of a sudden won many, many supporters. Exactly.
Brilliant.
Exactly.
I mean, it is, it's so sad that kids don't learn Latin in school anymore, because how else are they going to talk to dead Romans?
Exactly, exactly. On through a special box in their house that Sandra Bullock owns. Yeah. Talking to dead Romans in Latin, yeah. People always say about Mussolini that he made the trains run on time, didn't they? They say, oh, but he made the trains, but they should have made him Minister for Transport.
Yes, yeah. Not all-powerful dictator of fascist nation.
Exactly, exactly. Stick to what you do well.
Another fact about Mussolini is he always demanded that photographs of him be taken from below to make him look bigger, because he was, a bit sensitive
about
his height.
I want myself to look skinny and attractive. I always demand people take pictures from above and I can peer up like a little sort of...
Lost
sort of,
child. Instead of the gangly, moon-faced aberration that you are.
Yeah, with a pot belly these days as well, John. Yeah, it's not very attractive at all. The end of British something operating in Iraq.
That job as a newsreader eludes you still.
Still, damn. Yes,
our next headline is the something of the. It's about Iraq. Anyone know this?
We are pulling out of Iraq. There.
It's like any holiday, you know. No matter how wonderful it's been,
it's nice to get home.
There comes a point where you want to go home, and you know that you know going home, you'll appreciate everything all the more for having been away.
So, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Well, they're giving us all this. Hillary Clinton made one of those great politician statements the other day. Hillary Clinton has responded to further insurgency in Baghdad by saying, "This is because they're worried about the real stability we have, and they're trying to."
Well, the reason for all this instability is that they're really freaked out by all the stability.
Yeah. We're essentially winning, which is what that was such a spun answer. It was like, but there has been a bit. But we're handing back over. We're handing it over.
It's like being in a boxing match and being interviewed afterwards. Any idea why he hit you so hard, so consistently, and so effectively that it knocked you out? Well, I think he was just worried that I was winning. What souvenirs do you think we should be taking away? Any holidays incomplete without
souvenirs?
Well,
actually, I was given a genuine souvenir from a Muslim country for my wedding gift. It was a little alarm clock that that issued a little call.
The call to prayer. Oh, yeah, I've had one of those. They're good, aren't they?
So I think we should definitely get one of those.
Brilliant. Yeah. Little plastic call to prayer alarm clock.
Plastic call to prayer alarm clock.
Maybe like a hilarious
Saddam Hussein's beard.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. All in one piece, like the beard they give to Nursi in Blackadder when
just unconvincing fake beard.
Yeah, unconvincing fake beard.
I think we should have a hilarious novelty prayer mat that says, "I invaded Iraq and all I got was this lousy prayer mat."
That was good. That was like a genuine joke. We should stop doing that. We should stop flagging up genuine jokes.
By pausing afterwards and then saying, oh, look, that was a
brief
joke.
Brief moments when this podcast becomes almost listenable. We should just sort of flag it up. Talking of which, our stats are sadly slipping down.
Oh, we're flagging.
And we're flagging a little bit. People seem to be losing a little bit of interest.
What can we do?
I think aside from be different people.
Yes, I like that. Can we get someone
If you could be anyone, who would you be?
You've asked me that question so that I'll hesitate over it for a long time so you can check your email on your BlackBerry.
No, not at all. I'm asking that question because I genuinely want to know. Who would you be? Would you be Carol Ann Duffy?
Oh, no.
You wouldn't know?
No.
Poison Chalice. The Poison Chalice. I mean, she is the Poet Laureate now, so it's not all bad, but she does have that Poison Chalice.
She should really throw that away.
Yeah, no, she's just toying with
the chances of her accidentally drinking tea out of it.
But who would you be? Obviously you wouldn't be anyone. I mean, you wouldn't want to be anyone else. It'd be a bit weird. It'd be like the film Big. It seemed like a great idea at first.
But the novelty had soon wear off.
Yeah, like Iraq, exactly.
It seemed good at first.
Let's be Iraq. Let's just run that.
And at the beginning, it's all running up and down a giant keyboard, and you know, having sex even though you're only 9 years old, and you think, oh, this is brilliant. Big did have a worrying undertone of paedophilia, incidentally. But then by the end, you're like, oh no, we've got car bombs going off all around us, and we've already executed all the people who are in charge, and it's not getting any better, like in Big. You'd soon want to leave again. So you'd have to find the magic skull. Yeah. Was that Big? Was there a magic skull?
There was a magic skull at a seemingly innocuous funfair. Yeah,
because there are various body swap comedies, and I know one of them.
There's the one with a father and son swap, which I think is even more creepy, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's that called?
Well, Freaky Friday was a mother and daughter.
Freaky Friday was a mother and daughter. I've seen the remake with Lilo, they call her, don't they? Lilo, Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, you've
who's seen... looking very skinny these days. I think so, because she was such an attractive girl. She's a really nice looking girl.
Lilo is not a good
name. They call her Lilo, yeah, like J-Lo. Or
like something you inflate and then float around on.
Yeah, Lilo, which is ironic, because that's one thing she doesn't do, given the...
swim?
No, Lilo, you know.
Right, Lilo, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, she'd be rubbish as Salman Rushdie, for example. Do you know what? I heard Salman Rushdie on Radio 4 the other day.
She'd be rubbish as Salman Rushdie. Yeah. Like, it's a role that needs to be played by a minor Hollywood celebrity. Who should we have as Salman Rushdie this week?
Who, given the lack of prominent Asians in the media, who would, in Hollywood, who would play Salman Rushdie? They couldn't get the guy from Harold and Kumar Get the Munchies. That wouldn't be appropriate.
To be Salman Rushdie in the film Salman of his Rushdie. Life.
I mean, but they get the guy from the Number 42 with
Rowan Williams looks a bit like Salman Rushdie.
Rowan Williams does look like Salman Rushdie.
And they both don't get on that well with Muslims. So, coincidence?
That's really not fair on Rowan Williams, is it really?
No, it's not.
To be fair to Rowan Williams.
He did more to repair relations between Islam and Christianity than any Archbishop of Canterbury before us.
Yeah, but Rowan Williams is the next Dumbledore.
Is he?
Well, no, he should be, because Richard Harris, of course, died, and they replaced him with Michael Gambon, didn't they? Who makes a darker Dumbledore, but I think Rowan Williams would make a good Dumbledore, wouldn't he?
This is a Harry Potter thing, isn't it?
Yeah, she haven't watched Harry Potter, have you?
No, I saw the first film, it was rubbish.
The first film was quite rubbish, yeah. They get better.
That's what I've been told. Yes. Yep.
So, Joel, any final thoughts, any morals from the speech podcast?
It has been absolute shambles. Yeah, I don't know how it's been at home, but it's been chaos.
Utter fucking shambles.
There's going to be lots of, I think, probably listening to it at home, and you can confirm this, having just heard it. There'll be lots of uncomfortable edits, lots of little bits that don't seem to link up or make sense.
No.
And that's going to be the result of removing quite a lot of unfunny kind of floundering around for ideas on our part, as well as, you know, a couple of inappropriate, borderline racist diatribes.
Okay, now, what I'd like people to take away from this, I hope this will actually be the final thing that I ever put out into the public domain before I die of swine flu, and I think it'll be an appropriate epitaph to me.
Epitaph.
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 Goodbye.
Bye.